everybody. We're so glad that you're joining us here in the Simply His Coffee Shop. Last week, we tackled the acronym for His, the H part. So we were talking about being healed and what that means. If you did not watch it, you really need to go back and watch that episode. It was an amazing episode, I'll just say, even if I am maybe a little bit partial. But today, we're going to be tackling the I, which stands for inspired. And I know Donna and Allie are just chomping at the bit to talk about this one, because this one is on their nerves a little bit, in the sense that it's been overused way too much and not in the right way. So let's go ahead and dive right in. What does inspired actually mean, Donna?
Well, before we say what it actually means, I have to pull the band-aid off and say what we think it means is that we get really excited and feel a lot of good fuzzy things.
Right.
So right now, if you look it up in the dictionary, you get the general, and I say errant, sense of to influence or animate with an idea or purpose. So we just feel really, I'm inspired. Truthfully, that didn't even come until the 14th century.
Wow.
So it's that young that we would have understood the word inspired. But our Western society, we hear it, we immediately think about it as a feeling.
Right.
But it's not an emotion. It actually, from the very, very origins, if you go all the way back to Greek and then further back, even all the way back to the very first derivative, origin derivative, etymologically speaking. Etymology is the study of the origin of words.
Right. And just to interrupt you really quick, for those that do not know, Donna is actually an ordained minister, so she's done a lot of the theology and stuff, so that's why she can speak so coherently and with authority about this kind of subject. Continue.
Etymologically speaking.
Right.
Which is the study of the origin of words, the very, very first derivative of what we know to be our English word inspire, inspired, inspiring, comes from the moment that God breathed life into Adam.
Wow.
It means to breathe an equipping life into. Now, so here's the thing. It doesn't just mean, again, a feeling.
Right.
I feel like I'm full of life. It's not that. It's the literal God has put into you the equipment to do his purpose.
Wow. That's powerful. Very powerful.
Well, the Latin inspire is in and spiritus, and it does. It describes the in is the putting into, the blowing into, often with, you know, wind or moving air, referring back to when God put, and the spiritus is the soul. So it's literally describing the moment that God breathed the soul of life into Adam. And the Oxford Dictionary of English Etymology says this: infuse into the mind, impart or suggest by divine agency. So it literally means that God breathes this into mankind. And it does. It has a sustaining power, and it shouldn't be something that when the euphoria wears off, the inspiration is gone. You know, growing up as a pastor's kid, you get so tired of words like inspired and excited because it's like a camp high. You know, you go to camp and you do all the camp stuff and you're really excited, and you come home and for like 3 weeks you're all about God, but then like a month later you're just back to your same routine. Real inspiration shouldn't do that. And so when I go somewhere and they say, we're going to inspire you today, it's kind of like, please don't.
Whatever you're getting ready to do, it's probably a head trip. I'm not up for it. You know, seriously, I don't mean to be mean, but I just, inspiration to me just gets very tired with, it's like an emotional roller coaster. You're up, you're down, you're inspired, you're uninspired. And so for me growing up, that word really became a pet peeve. And so to find out what it actually means, which means God empowers you with life. It stays there for as long as there is air in your lungs.
Right.
And that staying power carries with it his authority, his equipment, his qualification, whatever you've been called to do, he has put that in you, and it's there until there is no more breath in your lungs. That is inspiration.
That is very cool.
That's the literal meaning. And here's the funny thing. Like, so if you go up to some person and say, in church, we all speak Christianese, and say, tell me what inspired means as the Bible defines it. Most of them would say, well, the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers because it's the holy and inspired written word of God. Right. That, too, is a moment where the life of God is breathed into the human to do something that wasn't exciting. Imagine that. Okay, we think, now I'm going to sit down and write a book. this is what we do. And it's like this real quick thing. It happens. These people had to deal with not only just the writing process taking forever and the old papyri falling apart because it's made out of reeds that are blowing around in the wind. I mean, one gust of wind coming through the window would blow the entire Bible apart. We're talking about a day that writing was not an inspirational thing to do.
Right.
Not as we would define it.
Right.
Furthermore, the Bible was the most controversial document ever written in human history. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to sit down and feel really good about that. They're going to get their head cut off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So God put in them the living, breathing, living word, and they were able to transpose that onto paper because he equipped them. So when people think that the writers of the Bible were inspired, that the Holy Spirit inspired them to do that. Now, some people would go as far as to call this, it's called the actual, Allie would know this, the mechanical dictation theory. Mm-hmm. And what that is the idea that, you know, Paul or whoever sat down and were literally put into a trance. And then they came out of the trance later and it was done. But actually, that's called the mechanical dictation theory. That's disproven in every serious scholarly work.
Yeah.
This was a human sitting down with their human emotion, their human fear, their mm-hmm. human finite body, fighting hours of endless sleep, especially for Paul. We don't realize those prisons, in case you didn't know this already, those prisons back then, you were chained to a wall. At most, if you were really, really in a lucky place, you might have some hay to lay on. Otherwise, you're frozen. Very often, you're naked or with a loincloth at best.
Right.
You're beaten. You're freezing.
Yep.
And you're sitting there writing on a thing that's falling apart every time you move because that the old paper was so fragile.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a day where the last thing you want to do is get up and start dipping some piece of hay
in ink.
In ink and hoping that you can get nothing about that is a feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So we need
right.
to keep that in mind too, that when we're asking for inspiration,
right.
it's just like when we sit down and say, you are the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me. If you look into pottery, you'll understand that what you are asking is to be smashed every
yep.
day. The impurities, the dross pulled out of your system. It's a painful process. Then you're going to be molded into this really pretty thing and you're like, I'm done. Yay. Nope. Now you go into the kiln.
Yep.
It's a never
into the fire. Yeah.
And if you're handled even one time handled improperly, a fingerprint comes out after the kiln. And it's a gnarly fingerprint. It means you're going to have to
be broken
and completely reformed.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about the prayers that we pray that we really, truly understand when it comes to the word inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be smashed and broken apart and told to do some really gnarly things.
Right.
Prisons just, we don't understand them.
Well, and that goes back to something that I've heard you say on so many platforms that you kept praying, Lord, just make me the appendix, make me the appendix.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing because you didn't want to be out in the front.
Right.
But you kept saying, Lord, but you didn't understand what you were even praying.
Right. No, that's true. Well, okay, so briefly, I'll just say it briefly. The reputation at the time
right.
was that the appendix was this useless body part that nobody knew what it did.
Right.
So I was like, Lord, I know what I want part of the body. I am right here. Make me the appendix. Put me in a back room and have everybody goes, oh, I don't know. That's Donna. We don't know what she does. Perfect. That's what I wanted. And it's what I still really want. But later on, as in this very moment in life that I'm praying, Lord, make me the appendix. This is how I thought back then. I'm just going to pray this thing. And then somebody, and I think it was Sharon Gilbert, came up to me and said, you really need to look what that was. And I started looking it up, and guess the headlines I was seeing were, the appendix, no longer a useless organ, scientists say.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm
goodness.
Like, no.
That's not very useless.
Turns out, but very, very, very important to your gut flora. It's actually, and it's too much to get into, but the bottom line is, the appendix is what pulls out the impurities of the body and replaces it with the proper understanding of how the body functions. And as it turns out, I've always been really wired to go, that's not what that verse means.
Right.
No, that's not what that word means. Stop it. So I was the appendix.
So inadvertently, you were actually praying for what God was already grooming you
yeah.
for.
He gave me the desire of my heart, whether I knew it or not. Yeah.
So going back, though, to being inspired, I know, Nita, that your work at Whispering Ponies Ranch has been inspired because God has instilled that into you and brought that to fruition. Can you talk about that with us today?
Well, if you're talking about inspiration or being inspired as more of a sacrifice than a feeling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sometimes. I will give you one example because this stands out to me and it really, really kind of set the pace from that day forward because I had been, you know, feeling that this was the direction I was supposed to go. It was a blizzard day. It was the kind of day the blizzard was hitting you in the face and your face was stinging and my knuckles were broken. And I didn't have automatic watering systems.
The skin on your knuckles.
Yeah, I'm talking about the literal hands. And even underneath my gloves, I was freezing. Mm-hmm. So I go out and I'm busting ice again for the second time today because you got to keep the horses watered.
Yep.
And I'm out there and it's hurting so bad. I broke all the ice and came into the house and I sat down just long enough to warm up. And I said, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Really? You really want me to do this? You have a plan for me to bust ice every day during the winter because you're going to take me to this. You've got something going on. And he said, yes. It wasn't like, no. It was simply, yes. I said, all right, then. I got up and went back out, busted ice for the rest of the winter. Now I have automatic watering systems. My knuckles are happy. But that took a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Still a daily. Carrie knows, she works with me out at the ranch, and she can tell you that there's hardly a day that goes by that I don't reevaluate where we're going and what would God have us to do and how can we best manage what we have. Am I right? So there you go. That's the inspiration that I walk in. It's a daily, daily thing.
So what is the ranch and what is the purpose of the ranch? Why did you build it?
So the purpose of this ranch is to help reach little children and foster care and otherwise that have been abused, neglected on every level. Some of these children, we had one group, this will sum it up.
Well, really quick though, you're talking about Whispering Ponies Ranch.
Yes.
Just so that everybody is aware.
Yes, and having said that, we had one group in and there were like 13 girls in this particular camp. Mm-hmm. And one of the head counselors kind of said, every single one of these girls have been sexually molested. And we're talking 6 to 12. And my heart's like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
Sorry, but that's the one. So that's what we do. And we provide food for them. We do horses. We do all kinds of fun activities. Whatever there is to do at the moment, we do it.
Right. Or when she was busting ice was before all of the ranch had fully come to fruition.
Right.
So being inspired again is a process. Sometimes it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It's like Donna and Ellie have been saying, this is not a feeling. You can't keep busting ice and being in pain on an emotional high.
Right.
Who wants to bust ice in the middle of winter and having your fingers bloody? It takes work. It takes dedication. Being inspired is kind of, I think, and I could be wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But to me, it goes more along the lines with even having a calling on your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always get to your calling the way that you think. It just is kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to do this because the obedience is part of being inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Obedient to what God is putting in your life.
But I like what Donna said about having God putting that life in you to do what he's equipped you. And I'm telling you, it never dies.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up again today going, how can I do this and how can I do it better? Just saying.
If you could jump to your calling from the beginning, you would miss all the strange little things that qualify you to do that calling. It's all these weird little uncomfortable interactions you have or lessons you have to learn or times, you know, of just trusting and not understanding why you're chipping ice yet again to keep these horses watered. And all of that, you know, it helps create. We recently sent the book Misfits, which is Simply His label, coming out this holiday season, actually.
Yeah.
And and in that book, you know, we talked about how the dream of a someday having horses changed to the calling of someday these horses and I as a ranch have been called to do XYZ because of the path that she went on through years of obedience as a pastor's wife. It changed the future hobby farm cowgirl to a seasoned minister who had worked with women and children and had decades of ministry in this area. And then she took that and combined it with her love for horses. So we all have these seasons of obedience. And when we're in them, they're hard and sometimes they don't make sense. You're like, God, why am I busting this ice? And yet later on you look back and you go, oh, That's what was going on. This is where this was headed.
Yes.
But we can't just jump to the calling. It's like jumping to the reward without having to put in our time, you know?
But what I will say, just in quickly, in the midst of all of the things that we did previously to the ranch, I did it all. I did Sunday school. I did women's ministries. I did missionettes. I did children's church. Name whatever the church choir, music, whatever the church encompassed as a ministry. I did it all.
Well,
and I'm not bragging.
Including cleaning the church and things like that, don't forget to mention.
I'm not bragging, and I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I say that because when it was time for me to transition, I was like, wait, God, wait. I'm supposed to be teaching kids. And he's like, hang on to that. No, but God, I'm supposed to, and I did this. I went into my community and started trying to do these things, and it never worked. It felt weird and awkward and out of place. Finally, I submitted and said, okay, God, what am I? I want you back over here. I want you to take care of these little critters, bust ice, and move on from now, okay? And that's how I got through that transition. But there was a lot of times I second-guessed myself. Because, I mean, really? I get to play with horses, and that's a ministry? Yay!
But on the tails of that, I got to say, there is something that is, there's something that needs to be said about whether or not a person legitimately feels like they're continually a fish out of water in what they're doing. Sometimes it's a season of obedience where you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but you're very good at it. And God has told you to do it anyway. Then there are seasons where you're like, somebody at church has asked me to do this. I don't honestly don't feel like it's my ministry. Remember Keith Green? All of his songs, it's not my ministry, Lord. And he's all whiny. I love that. But also there's a moment where you can legitimately say, that is not what you have called me to do, Lord. Yeah. This is a distraction from what you actually have called me to do. So when we're feeling uninspired in the Western way, sometimes it might be the Holy Spirit pricking you every day saying, ask me whether or not you're supposed to be doing this. Because your pastor says you're supposed to be running a daycare, but maybe you're supposed to be running a pony farm.
Right.
And I can't even tell you how many times I've been in church leadership in different positions, and I'm like, I already know that this is not it. I'm going to give them 2 months, and then I'm out of here. You know what I mean?
Knowing what you're not supposed to do is equally as important as knowing what you are supposed to
be doing. Absolutely.
Because that helps you to eliminate the distractions.
Right.
So that you can get to where you need to be and focus and be that.
Well, and you never know if that's something that you are supposed to be learning. There might be a reason or somebody that you need to meet being in that position, even if it is for 2 months.
Yes.
Because maybe you meet somebody that's going to then help you go further. And if you want to know more about the ranch, please visit the website. It's www.whisperingponiesranch.com, and you can find out so much more information even on what we do at the ranch if you're interested in that, because we will refer to it quite a bit in all of our episodes.
I will tell you that some of the things that we do on the ranch is kept private due to the nature of the HIPAA laws. We don't share a lot of pictures and such.
But they can still at least find out what it is that we do and the ministries that are impacted by that ranch.
So I just want to let you know, Facebook's not booming with photos all the time. Don't worry. We're working hard.
Yeah.
You can also learn how to support that ministry if you feel led to do that. You can learn that from the website as well.
One thing I'll say about seasons of obedience is a lot of times they can be confused with someone out of their calling doing something that, like you're using this example, the pastor has asked me to do this. And it's because there's this fear, if I step down, nobody will pick this up.
Yes.
And it's very easy. And I mean, aren't the laborers always few? And every church needs more help and more teachers and more nursery workers. Every church needs these things. So it's very easy to, you know, get kind of trapped in a role where you're thinking, God, I really think this isn't my calling, and yet if I step down, this will not continue.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, we have to get out of our own heads in that way, because if it's a work that God once carried on, he will send someone else to do that work.
Yes.
And it may be their chapter of either a season of obedience, or maybe they're going to find their calling. Maybe they're the one that's going to meet a person and figure out this next thing that takes them to their calling. But that's a very real feeling. Everybody's been there. We've all been there. Right. It's very real to feel like if I step down, I may cost this church, this ministry, by not continuing it myself. And that's really something we've got to pray about. And it's something that we can even go to that pastor and say, I'm struggling with this, but I really feel I need to step down, you know? So that's worth acknowledging.
I think there's a problem with the way that we approach ministry. I think even from the very highest to the very lowest rung of the church, there's always this thing where somebody gives their life radically over to Christ. Mm-hmm. And we say, awesome, the next thing you need to do is ministry. And that's true. But then we give them our little ideas. Uh-huh. You can change diapers in the church nursery if you're a woman. If you're a man, you can preach or teach Sunday school. There's like these little checkbox ways that God can work. Yeah. And if we go outside the box, somebody's in the church is going to get offended or wonder why we don't have a servant's heart. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you look at the New Testament, and talk about like people getting offended if you leave the church. The whole church mourns when you leave. That shouldn't always be that way. Look at how many times they moved around in the New Testament.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You are sometimes called specifically to leave that church because there's something over in that town you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
And if your pastor and everybody that is there saying, no, you just need to pray for inspiration, you're supposed to be here, that's one of those times where you do it anyway because God is calling you to it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. A lot of people just get stuck in that rut, though, too. It's like, oh, well, I only know how to teach Sunday school. But instead of like stretching themselves or trying to push themselves, even if they feel that tug on their heart, we were talking about this the other day when we were preparing for these shows, but it's, you know, the saying, God closes the door and opens the other. God is opening this other door for you that he wants you desperately to go through, and you keep slamming that one shut, but I'm comfortable over here. So keep that door closed, Lord, because this is the door I want open. Right. So instead of being...
Well, worse, you think you're being obedient. You're sitting there telling, you know, this voice that's telling me I'm supposed to go over there. Will you be quiet? The Lord wants me here. And he's like, no, I'm... Hello.
Hello. Right. Yes, exactly. So you have to be sensitive. And I think that's where a lot of people, even today, and we've talked about this on Skywatch TV, on how nobody is reading their Bible anymore. Nobody is fully praying and seeking God's wisdom and seeking his guidance. Nobody's truly doing that the way that they did back in the Old or the New Testament. And even back in a couple hundred years ago, they were doing that because that's what they knew. They sought God with their whole being. People today, they have their phones, they have everything else, and they do not seek God the way that they should be seeking God. You know, so nobody is open. Oh, well, if God doesn't come down and tell me on Facebook that I'm supposed to do something and like and share all these things, then I'm not going to get God's will for my life, you know? So they really need to just put your devices away, go into your closet or wherever. Mine sometimes is when I'm driving, because sometimes that's the only time I have quiet to myself is after I've dropped the kids off at daycare and school. Then I have the drive from school to work, and that's my time. Even if it's not very long, it doesn't have to be, you have to be on your knees for an hour and a half, blah, blah, blah. No, it can be that 15-minute drive that you take and you're seeking God. God, help me today. What do I need to learn from today? What do you have for me today? Or for the rest, you know, I pray for my kids during that time. I pray for my husband. I pray for my employees. I pray for Skywatch. You know, it doesn't have to be in a box. You can be out of the box. And that's kind of the whole point of these shows. And actually talking about inspiration too, that is why we started this show. And it has taken a long time to get here. And like we talked about in the very first show, we had planned on shooting these shows like a long time ago, and things just kept happening. So this has been of an inspiration to even start, because God's breathed it into you, especially Nita, on the women's ministry, and we all have a heart for it as well.
Well, it's always been you guys. It's always been, this has been the dream. You know that.
Yes.
So I would not do this by myself.
But that's why we chose Healed and Inspired, and we'll get to the S next week. That's why we chose to consider it a past tense. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I have been healed in the past. I am choosing to be healed. And we said that last week. It's the same as with Inspired. And if we consider it the way that it was biblically meant to be considered, it could synonymously be said, I have been equipped to do God's work.
And
he has breathed the life into me to do God's work.
And given me the inspiration.
I choose every day to be healed, used for his work. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a future thing. I choose in the future to be inspired in the way that God would carry that inspiration. Yeah.
And unfortunately, we are completely out of time again. Mm-hmm. It goes by fast, people. Next week, we are going to be talking about the S in His, which is sanctified. So that will be a very interesting episode as well. You do not want to miss it. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Simply His Coffee Shop. I'm Catherine Horn. We'll see you next time. Yeah.